Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. And in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Gracious Father, You have been the light and salvation of your people in every age. Bring us, we pray, through the troubles of this present life, that we may see your goodness in eternity. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We continue with the third portion of our Passion reading. We've been reading from the Gospel of Luke this year. Tonight we hear of Jesus' trial before Caiaphas and about Peter's denial. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns." Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the Passion of our Lord.
Thank you.
May the Holy Spirit direct our thoughts this evening as we continue our Lenten theme, Behold the Hidden Glory of the Cross. This evening we turn to the Gospel of John chapter 18 and see Jesus on trial before Pilate. Our theme for this evening is, His glory is hidden in the Savior's rejection by the world. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. This is the word of the Lord. Dear fellow believers, this year for Easter, our Board of Outreach was trying to think of other ways of getting the invitation out into the neighborhood for people to visit our Holy Week and Easter services. We wanted to try something different than we had ever tried before. So we came up with the idea of putting a billboard or poster on one of the city buses. We thought that would be a good way to get the message out. Well, one of the members of our board contacted the regional transit company and found out in the first phone call that it would be against their rules to have a cross included on any of their buses. It would just be too offensive for some people. Our board of outreach member was persistent, and he continued to ask, well, could we put some other type of message or some other type of picture? And the man he was talking to on the other end of the line said, well, we'll have to check with our lawyers. Our board of outreach member called back a few days later and discovered that not only could we not put a cross on one of the buses, but we couldn't have any religious message whatsoever. It would simply be offensive to certain people. We shook our heads in the Board of Outreach for a while and wondered what we should do next. Should we perhaps write a letter to the transit company and tell them that we were offended, that we were not allowed to put our message? But finally, we came to the conclusion that this is simply one of the crosses that we must bear as followers of Jesus. The message of Jesus is not appreciated by the world around us. As a matter of fact, they are offended by it. And because we are connected to him, we will be an offense to them as well.
Last week, in our Lenten sermon, we heard about how our Savior was rejected by his own people. In the trial before Caiaphas, Jesus' own people, the Jews, rejected him. They were unable to see the glory of Jesus. They were unable to see the glory of the cross. So tonight, we see the earthly power that was outside of the Jewish people. Jesus, in our scene for tonight, faces Pontius Pilate. Pilate was the symbol of earthly power there in Jesus' capital city of Jerusalem. Pilate was the governor who had been sent out by the emperor of the Roman Empire, who controlled practically all of the known world. And we are going to see in tonight's scripture that also those outside of Jesus' people were unable to recognize the glory that lay behind him, and they too, in the end, were offended by him. Let's take a look at this scene between Jesus and Pontius Pilate. It's an interesting contrast, isn't it? Pilate was the one who symbolized all of that Roman authority and power. He was probably dressed in fine robes. Probably anyone in the city of Jerusalem on that day, whether they knew who Pilate was or not, could recognize that this was a man of stature. And before him in this scene stands a very humble-looking man. Someone with no outward earthly power. If we had a chance to read John's entire account of what happened before Pilate, we would hear those words that Jesus spoke, somewhat kind of veiled, saying things to Pilate like, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Quite a set of contrasts, wasn't it? Jesus was really the one in control. Jesus was the one with all the power over the universe. Jesus was simply submitting himself to what he knew had to happen. Pilate was there as God's instrument to bring about God's awful purpose in Jesus. Interesting, too, how much knowledge the two have or don't have. Pilate is someone who clearly wants to emphasize authority and power. The only thing that concerns him about this Jesus is that perhaps Jesus has some power that will throw his power off balance. Pilate, in a way, is a lot like all of us. We all want the power over our lives. We want control over our little part of the world. And if someone threatens our power, we are going to ask them all kinds of questions. Are you a king, then? Do you ever get tempted to try to ease Jesus out of your little power realm? Does he sometimes try to exert a little too much authority over you? Does he want to have a little too much control over your life? Are there times when you question whether he really has authority over every moment, over every day of your life? Pilate was only concerned about power. When Jesus tried to tell him some of the internal, the spiritual power that he had, when Jesus tried to tell him, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is about discovering the truth." Notice Pilate's response. "What is truth?" Does Pilate sound at all like the people of today's world? Isn't there a lot of dispute in our world today about what really is the truth? You know, America has been going now for quite a few years on this philosophy that everything is relative. The wise people of our age will say there is no such thing as absolute truth. Oh, we all have our own set of facts that are true. What you might consider to be right or wrong, I might not consider to be right or wrong. My sense of good and bad may be different from your sense of good and bad. The leaders of our age are very relativistic. They will say that it really comes down to all of us compromising about our set of truths. No one should impose his or her truth on someone else. It's all relative. Many of the philosophical leaders of today would ask the same question as Pilate. What is truth? Notice that Pilate was not angry with Jesus when he asked this question. He asked the question and he simply walks out of the room. He doesn't wait for Jesus to give an answer to this question. Pilate is rather indifferent to Jesus compared to some of the enemies that we have seen so far in our Lenten devotions. We live in a world like that too, don't we? It's not that the world is always so much against us. It's that they will say to us when we assert our beliefs, "Oh, that's interesting. That's nice that you can believe that and have that firm foundation for your life. But for me, it's something different." Jesus stood for an objective truth, a truth where there was an objective right and wrong. God's law is very clear. He's revealed it to us in His Word. And no matter how lukewarm the world becomes a bit, His law is no less true when people don't accept it, when they reject it. And His gospel message, too, is a very powerful message. Whether the world accepts it or rejects it, it contains a power that for the believers just opens their eyes to see that though I have failed miserably in keeping God's law, He allowed His Son to suffer all of the punishment that my lukewarmness and my rejection have brought to His law. That beautiful gospel message, though it be veiled to the world, though they reject it, is still the most powerful force that the universe has ever seen. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, whether the world rejects you or accepts your message, recognize that the power is hidden in the cross. It is not something that is going to be obvious to people. Don't get discouraged, brothers and sisters, when you see all kinds of strange things happening in the world. Pilate knew that in order to keep his balance of power, that he had to make all kinds of political compromises. Notice what he does toward the end of tonight's text. Pilate recognized that Jesus was innocent. Pilate wanted to have Jesus released. But Jesus' own people put political pressure on him. If we had the rest of chapter 19 printed, we would see how Jesus' enemies continue to browbeat Pilate with phrases like, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's." Pilate was afraid that he would lose his political standing. He knew that these enemies of Jesus could go to Caesar and tell him that this governor of his was not very faithful to him. Here was this Jesus, always trying to start rebellions, and Pilate would release him. Notice what a strange thing Pilate does. He offers the people two choices, Jesus or this man named Barabbas, thinking that the people would choose Jesus. But who do they choose? Barabbas. And notice what John says about Barabbas' crimes. Why was this Barabbas in custody in Jerusalem to begin with? He had taken part in a rebellion. Isn't it the height of inconsistency that a politician like Pilate, who feared rebellion, would let the rebel go? Can you feel the pressure that was on Pilate? Can you see the rock and the hard place that he was between? Pilate probably knew that if Barabbas acted up again, he would rather easily be arrested. But the pressure that these people were putting on him if he were to release Jesus, that's something Pilate feared that could cost him his position. And so he did what the world so often does. He went against principle. He took this man who had taken part in a rebellion and released him to the people. And what did he do with the innocent man? He scourged him. Ever since Mel Gibson came out with his movie, The Passion of the Christ, I think the word scourging sends a shiver down all of our backs, doesn't it? Can you imagine a governor sending a man whom he knows to be innocent to be scourged? Can you imagine the hardness of the point of view of a leader who would do that to an innocent man and let the rebel go? It's a strange world that we live in, isn't it? But don't we see the same thing happen around us almost on a daily basis? Where the criminal goes free and the righteous must suffer. Jesus told us that it would be this way. We'll never be able to make sense of this world. The world will always be ready to compromise its principles. It will always be ready to discard all of its principles. We shouldn't try to make sense of it. God has a plan amidst it all. He encourages us to keep our integrity, to stand by our faith, not to try to reason the way the world views things, not to try to use logic with them, but to simply continue to present the simple message of God's law and His gospel. And though we cannot say it with words that sound like a trumpet blast, the beauty that is contained hidden inside of it is like a little seed that will always get out. And though it may not work in the heart of the person that we are speaking to, perhaps there's someone listening on the side, in whose heart that seed will plant itself and will grow and flourish. Jesus has sent you out with a message that is extraordinarily beautiful. You know how beautiful it is because you have a heart that welcomes it and that causes it to flourish and grow. But be ready for rejection, because the world does not see its beauty. The world has not yet been touched by the Spirit. Their hearts have not yet been changed by Him and softened so that the seed can grow in it. But that doesn't make the seed any less beautiful. Always get your joy and your enthusiasm for being a Christian witness from Jesus and His gospel. And you will always be eager to spread it to others, no matter what strange looks they may give you as you tell it to them. Stand by the cross of Jesus and share it with others, because it has a power, though hidden, that can change hearts and lives. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We now bring our offerings to the Lord.
present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Teach us the patience and perseverance of the cross, so that our Savior's victory over sin, death, and Satan may give us strength to overcome. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Look down, O Lord, from your heavenly throne, and illuminate this night with your celestial brightness, that by night as by day, your people may glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Almighty and Merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us again for our Lenten worship devotion. One announcement that I would like to highlight from the bulletin, please notice that we have our special school open house planned for this Sunday afternoon from 12 o'clock till 3. So please invite friends, neighbors, anyone you know, coworkers, anyone who has children school age to come and get an inside look at our school. I think that's all the announcements that I wanted to highlight. I wish you God's blessings.